Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Ed Moy, a senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, the markets last week, we started to see maybe a little bit more volatility, but overall at the end of the week, U.S. equity markets again closing, most of them at least, at or near all-time highs. There continues to be this buy the dip mentality, and it seems like investors broadly are paying attention maybe to some of the data, but either way, they're left without any other options of where to put their money. That's at least one argument that we've been hearing a lot of. Ed, what are you focused the most on as we come into this week? Again, in summer, seems like we're a little bit more in the summer doldrums, but what's got your eye? What do you think matters this week?
Well, for me, there's a handful of key events, but I think it's going to really come down to just a few ones. And I think bank earnings season is going to be very vital to, I think, the outlook for are we really going to have another blockbuster earnings go around? And I think, you know, the earnings grow, some people targeting 60%. I've heard some aggressive estimates that maybe we could see 75% or even higher. That's you know, record level. And I think what you're going to see is there's also going to be a close look as far as, you know, how strong and healthy do the banks say the U.S. consumer is. And all of that, you know, is also comes out. You know, we see JP Morgan kick things off tomorrow. And also we have inflation data that will be very closely watched. I think what we're seeing is, there's potentially we're going to see some of these pricing pressures ease up a little bit. The monthly and annual readings are supposed to tick down. But obviously, I think, you know, more people, the argument is growing that, you know, this inflation law, or at least large pockets of it, could be persistent. And I think what we'll see is after we kind of get that, you know, lead with JP Morgan, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, then we're going to see the markets start going to, once again, remain fixated on the Fed. And we're going to hear from Powell. He's going to be talking to Congress with his semiannual monetary policy report. And what you're going to see is this is when Powell's going to be able to address the nation with, you know, another round of inflation data. We're going to probably see, global growth concerns have somewhat returned. I think there's fear of the Delta variant spread that has accelerated across large countries, even the U.S. That has become a concerning picture for many states that, you know, are not heavily vaccinated. We saw cases rise 47% in the week ending Sunday. So there's still a lot of risks that are brewing. And I think, the argument that, you know, the stimulus is going to go away and the taper tantrums, I think all these risks are just going to reinforce that dovish commitment. And right now there's just too much accommodation in place to, I think, to want to head for the sidelines. And when you take a look at, you know, the Fed, I think right now you're really trying to get a sense on, you know, well, okay, when are you going to see the doves start to move? And right now, Powell, Clarita, Brainard, Evans, Waller, they're not going to move at all. And Kashkari, he's the most of us, so I just read the updates with him because I don't think nothing would move him. So there's this big belief you're still going to see the Fed remain accommodative. And I think those dot plots, I think, you know, a lot of people were saying maybe end of next year we could see those interest rate increases. I think that is now, given some of the growth concerns we've seen, you're going to see some people push back those estimates. So that's why we're still near record highs, and I think that's why you're going to see there's still a lot of interest in, you know, buying U.S. equities, as, you know, a lot of these countries, Africa, especially Latin America, you're seeing there is, unfortunately, they don't have their hands on vaccinations, and they're still struggling. And if you're a foreign investor, U.S. assets still look very attractive.
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors to take into account, and it's unlikely the Fed will stop being as accommodative because they don't want to take away the punch bowl too early with so many variables up in the air, not just the Delta variant that you mentioned, but interest rates have actually were up and now they're back down again. People are worried about inflation. Will it be transitory? Will it not? But you brought up a good point with earnings season. A lot of times around earnings seasons, we see both sides of the camp come out where one side's worried it's going to underwhelm and that it could be a reason for a market pullback, and the other side thinking that, hey, you know, the fundamentals really aren't as important as they used to be. People are just looking for an excuse to pile in and push things higher. We have seen the stock, the general indexes running higher. But one question we wanted to ask you about is, you know, do you think that with the market breadth being so concentrated into a few dozen names for the most part that's carrying the indexes, do you think there's any potential that the earnings season could disappoint, or that there that could be something that could cause a little bit of a tantrum in its own right?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of noise, and the market reactions are going to be providing some many fake outs. But in the end, I think when, you know, the dust settles, you're going to probably see this market is going to primarily remain fixated in what's happening with the Treasury market. And as we've seen, you know, the market has, you know, greatly repriced, you know, about a month and a half ago. The belief was that we were going to see the reflation trade remain firmly in place. And now you're probably seeing, I think the majority of traders are believing that, okay, wow, we probably already saw the peak in Treasury yields, at least with the 10-year yield. And I think you're going to see that this earnings season is going to provide, I think, a further, I think, exclamation point that you're going to probably see, you know, the growth trade is still going to remain strong. I think that there is, you know, I think banks are going to be difficult to navigate, because I think you're going to see a lot of those numbers tainted due to some of the impact of, you know, just like, for instance, like Wells Fargo, they might have a $545 million boost because of just the easing of those reserves. So I think, you know, we're going to probably see, you know, trading volumes really take a hit. And I think the banks are going to be very noisily as far as what's happening. But I think in the end, you know, banks are probably going to have blockbuster numbers. They're going to obviously, the growth concerns are going to derail some of their outlook. And I think that you're probably going to see investors are going to be, I think, quick to the sidelines, given how overextended we have been. And I think right now, though, I think that, you know, there's still great reason to be optimistic that, you know, U.S. stocks are going to be able to push much higher from these current levels. I think that you don't want to fight the Fed. And right now, I think there is just too much of an argument that this is still, I concede that, yes, there will be some parts of this inflation pressure that is going to be persistent. But I think on a whole, I think you're going to see a lot of this start to ease. And I think you're not going to want to fight the Fed. And I think you're going to have, you know, this week is going to provide another dovish confirmation. So I think you're probably still going to see investors, some will be, you know, very nervous. And I think, you know, we could see some weakness, but in the end, I think ultimately both will settle much higher.
Well, speaking of the Fed and banks, what do you think about some of the initiatives that are ongoing with the repo markets? We've heard a lot more chatter about that lately. There's been a lot more articles, a lot more postulation on what the Fed is doing as far as the repo markets in conjunction with the banks. How do you think that ties in, Ed?
Well, I think, you know, the Fed and I think, you know, they've really alleviated any risks to the plumbing of the financial system. And I think that they're probably going to, I think, just remain adamant that they're, you know, the lender of last resort. And I think you're going to see that the Fed is really in a position right now where they're going to be very cautious, I think, with the short term outlook. I think that there's no I think reason for the Fed to change their stance just yet. So I think that you're going to probably see they're not really going to do anything that will unnerve markets.
So it really does come down to the Fed, but the expectation still of the Fed not wanting to upset markets. And again, when we go through these earnings season, it's not so much the actual earnings that we see, it's more what the companies are saying, especially about future inflation. That's been the trend over the last, really this whole year, is everyone looking to see how inflation has or is playing into companies' plans for future quarters, even the rest of this year. Ed, is that a key component to look for in terms of the future guidance from companies, or do you think there's something else too that investors need to be aware of?
Well, and I think a lot of companies, that's one of the other key pillars of this earnings season. They're going to be focused on their pricing pressures and, you know, how much of that is going to be passed on to the consumer, and probably a lot of it. And I think when we take a look at, you know, like today's New York Fed inflation expectations, I think, you know, we saw, you know, the 1 year ahead expectations jumped almost a full percentage point to the highest that survey's ever had, 4.8%. And I think you have to remember, though, that, you know, when you go beyond a couple of years after, and the 3 year is steady at 3.6%. And I think there is still, there's a lot of upbeat momentum in the market right now, because the labor market is still working its way to making substantial progress. It's far from it, but it's headed in the right direction. Household incomes are heading higher. Spending growth remains upbeat. So I think you're still seeing a strong picture here. And while I think some companies will continue to struggle, bottleneck issues, COVID has been a bane for so many companies, because the bottleneck issues are not getting as alleviated as quickly as many people anticipated. And that's what's really, I think, kind of supported that persistent inflation argument. But in the end, I think I think what you're going to probably see is as this recovery unfolds, and as we probably are still talking about inflation, you know, early next year, you're definitely going to see that the market is going to at that point be looking at the base effects of this year, and I think you're probably going to see that the bottleneck issues will completely rectified. Us, you know, we should, if everything goes as planned, have the chip shortage issue rectified before end of year, and that I think really will, I think, support how we see the markets moving forward.
Now, these markets have been all about rotation of capital. Lots of money in these markets, more money that seems to trickle in, but what's important is the money seems to be rotating from sector to sector, strategy to strategy. You mentioned it early on here, is that the continued trend, at least recently, back into growth. Sounds like you think this is sustainable. How long are you estimating that growth could run here and support these markets?
Well, if the 10-year Treasury yield did see its peak for this year, I think, you know, that's the playbook for a lot of these tech trades. There is still, I think, this belief, and what we're seeing is, you know, great interest as far as, you know, remaining committed to the FANG stocks. I think that there's still some type of blind loyalty for several investors that, that's the path higher. I think that you're going to see if you are in the camp that believes the Fed is not going to tighten until 2023, growth stocks, but yes, they're going to have some bumps in the roads, these anti-competitive claims, and also, these tax increases that are inevitable. That is going to, obviously hurt some of their results and some of that long-term appeal. But I think still there is this strong belief that the outlook is still great. You're probably going to see that market gets beyond this amazing growth that we're going to see this year, and as things start to normalize, growth stocks are going to be where people want to be. And I think that, yes, there's still a tremendous amount of froth. Yeah, I think you're going to see some bubbles popped, but in the end, I think that you're going to see investors are going to want to buy any major dips that we see in especially these big tech stocks.
Okay. Ed, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, outlining some of the factors that you're going to be watching moving forward. But again, sounds like this move into growth, into big tech, could continue, at least in your eyes, for a little longer. We'll see how it all plays out. Ed, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.